The following program is for entertainment purposes only. It is not medical, psychological, or psychiatric advice of any kind. For any of that, please contact your doctor. On today's episode of Dream Meanings, what does it mean when a deceased parent returns to give assurance in a dream? Race cars flying off the track. What correlation could this have to one listener's life? Tidal waves dragging us out to sea. How could this be a positive dream? Those dreams and more will be discussed on today's episode of Dream Meanings. 1-800-606-7193. Our phone number you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to share your dream with us here at Dream Meanings. You can also go to our website, which is dreamingradio.com. D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G radio.com. And you can write in your dream to submit it, and we may talk about it on a future episode of the program. Be sure to press subscribe on whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. Greatly appreciate you doing that. That helps us grow in those rankings and lets other folks find our program. So we'll make sure you find us, if you already found us, at our Dream Meanings podcast page on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever it may be, and press subscribe, and thank you in advance for that. You ever use one of the single-serve coffee machines? I have one here in the other room, and whenever I do this program, I make a cup of coffee. I don't drink a ton of coffee throughout the week, but I do this program about once or twice a week, depending on the volume of calls that we have, and I have a cup of coffee while doing the show. It's just kind of become my ritual now that we're about 20 episodes in. You know, you make rituals around things, and I'm no different. Anyway, I have to say, one of the stupidest features I've ever seen on a kitchen product is on this single serve coffee maker. It has holes in the back of the tank. You pour the water in, and there's only enough space in there to pour literally one cup, and I'm fine with that. But the thing is, if you pour any more than 8 ounces of water into this machine, it comes pouring out the back of it. And it's not like a defect or something. There's purposely drilled holes in the back of the machine where if you literally, like I said, go over by one iota. And a lot of coffee cups are not a perfect 8 ounces. A lot of them are a little bit bigger, because that's how they are. And I measure it by pouring water into the cup and then pouring the cup into the back of the machine. But if I'm over by just the slightest amount, my whole counter is just filled with water because it pours out like a waterfall out of the back of the machine. Needless to say, the power cord and everything is right in the back of the machine as well. I would think this could possibly be some sort of a electrical hazard should your cord be frayed or anything and suddenly water is just bombarding the back of the machine. But I don't know. I really don't understand it. I don't understand why they wouldn't just have that filled. And if you have a little extra water in there, it just goes to the next cup that you make. Why the let's infiltrate someone's counter with excess water feature? I don't get it. Other than that, it's a great coffee maker. But every time I am wiping up the counter, and if you don't notice it, then depending on your countertop, you could ruin your countertop too, because you could just have water sitting there. And if you have something like a laminate or something that could be damaged by water just sitting on it for long periods of time, or wood or something, really screwed very quick. Anyway, my thoughts on the single serve coffee maker that I have. Let's go to a dream. 1-800-606-7193 to share your experiences with us. Hi, you are on the air.
Hello, my name is Jennifer. Calling from Plymouth Meeting. I wanted to tell you about my dreams. It could probably go on your other show as well, because it does have a little paranormal thing to it, but here it is. My father passed away in 2013, and I had a few different dreams about him. Sometimes he would look like young in the dreams when he would come to me, and this particular one, he looked about like 50. He was 75 when he passed. And I've never had a dream with him looking like he did when he passed. He was either 50 or younger. But in this particular dream, it first started out that I was downstairs, like in the living room area of someone's house that kind of looked like the house that I'm living in now. Like, it was set up like that, but it had different furniture and stuff. And I was with hanging out with a girl that I work with who, you know, I we're friendly, like, when we pass and work, but, you know, we don't share lunch together, we don't hang out together, we don't talk to each other on the phone, we're not even, like, Facebook friends, so I don't know why she was in the dream, except, you know, I'm a teacher, and I teach her class, like, twice a week, so I don't know if that's why, but anyway, we were hanging out in her house, and her father came in to us and said, I'm going somewhere, I forget where he said he was going, I'm going out, and if my dad, meaning her grandfather, like his father, if my dad comes, you know, just tell him, like, I left or something like that, or tell him you don't know where I am. Like, he didn't want his dad to know that he was going out or something like that. I don't know. And we were like, okay. So then, you know, maybe, like, 10 minutes goes by or something. And the way my house is set up, if you're sitting on the sofa and you look towards your left, there's, like, a big opening into my hallway, and you can see, like, the stairs, like, the side of the stairs. So we heard, like, noise or whatever, and we looked over, or at least I looked over, and I saw, like, legs come walking down the steps, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, you know, here comes your granddad, you've got to tell him that your dad left or whatever, and I don't see the person, like, go all the way down, like, I must have looked away or something. And then, like, in my house, my real house, when you go down the steps, the wall kind of blocks you. But then if you walk around to come into the living room, you know, you would see you then at the opening. So the next thing I know, I, like, look, and I see this person come walking around, like, the opening into the living room. He's, like, kind of standing in the hall, like, not putting his feet on the carpet. Because in my house, it's, like, the hallway has wood floor, but the living room has carpet, so it's, like, standing on, like, the woods, like, in the hallway, and it's my dad. It's not her grandfather. It's not her father's father or whatever. It's my dad, and I was, like, shocked because I wasn't expecting him. I was expecting her grandfather, and he had, like, the biggest smile on his face, and this happened right after my uncle died, like, not his brother. It was my mom's sister, her husband, which, you know, like, my dad would always be around him a lot, and we were around him a lot, so we were close, but, you know, it's not his brother. So this happened right after my uncle died, and, you know, I would think I would, like, get a visit from my uncle, not my dad, who died, like, 3 years ago, but anyway, it was my dad, and he had the biggest, happiest smile on his face, and there was, like, a ray of light above his head. Like, I couldn't see, like, the light, but it was coming down as if there was, like, a spotlight or something, like, way, 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 way above, because he was inside a house, but it was just, like, light. Like, he was lit up, you know, almost like, you know, angel or something like that, like, lit up like that. And I was like, oh, my God. And sometimes I'm like you, Tony. I can kind of change a dream if I want it to go a certain way or I want to say a certain thing. I can do that. So at that moment, I realized I was dreaming. So I, like, before he was, like, left or the dream ended, I, like, stood up real fast and I said, Dad, you know, is there a heaven? I don't know why I'm asking this, but I'm like, is there a heaven? And he's like, yes, and it's wonderful. You're going to love it. And then the next thing that popped up, it wasn't like, you know, how's Uncle Bill? Is he there? It wasn't like that. It was like, is God proud of me? And then he just, like, smiled even more, and he took a step backwards, and then the dream, like it was over. I was done. I woke up, and I just felt like he was really, it was like a visit, like he was there. Like, maybe he wasn't, maybe it was just a dream, but because I was able to do that thing where I, like, know it's a dream, and I can talk and say stuff, I don't know. It was just, it made me feel, and I woke up, I felt, like, really good. Like, I felt like I talked to my dad. So, that's it. Okay, tell me what you think. Bye.
You know, even if our parents are passed away, it's one of those things where it's instinctual. You're still longing for their approval and for their blessing on life, where you're going, what's going to be happening in your future, what's going on now. And this just really, to me, It doesn't necessarily, I think, tie into the paranormal without anything outside of it. It's very natural to continue to dream about your loved ones as if they were alive or if they're visiting you in your dreams once they're passed. But without much evidence beyond it was a dream, it's hard to say it was anything paranormal. I really think in this case, it was more so just you and your subconscious just longing for the approval of a parent that had passed away, and your mind brought that to you. It brought you the situation where you could get that feeling as if you were having the conversation with your father. And these would naturally be questions I think you were probably, deep down wanting to ask if you could have a conversation with a deceased parent if they're on the other side. Is there heaven? Is this real? You know, you're over here now. Tell me what's going on. And you saw this as the opportunity in your dream to do so. So the questions you asked were naturally, I think, what you'd want to ask, given the opportunity, and just kind of giving the approval of the parent of your father. Are you on the right path? You know, is God happy with you? Everything of that nature, I think, was just a natural instinct to want to get some approval from a parent that is no longer living and able to give it to you. So I think that's really all it was. It was you, should you be in that situation, what you would have asked if it's happened in reality. In the living sense. I don't think there's a whole lot of meaning behind the rest of it, quite honestly, with the friend from work. I think there's kind of just a lot of random settings, and then, boom, your dad's there, and then the beef of this is just that longing for a connection and the approval. And maybe the friend has some bearing on this. If you're not super close at work, but maybe it's a connection thing, a connection of wanting to have closer connections with people, maybe the type of connection you had with your father and wanting that closer relationship. And that was almost a representation of it in that dream of seeing that friend that you're kind of close with, kind of not. Maybe you, a desire there to maybe have a stronger relationship with others as you had with your father. Thank you for sharing that with us. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your dream with us. Let's go over here to a caller or to a letter. Let's go to Steph. Steph writes in, hi there. I'm writing to you from the southern tip of Africa, Cape Town. I'd like to tell you about my husband's reoccurring dream that I've had as well. Before he was 10 years old, my husband often dreams he's standing on the beach and a massive wave like the size of a block of flats approaches the shore and he starts to panic and run away from it. The wave crashes over him and washes over the buildings and runs into the city like a tsunami. He's rolled by the waves and instead of panicking further, he gives in and moves with the wave and is swept deep into the ocean and feels incredibly calm. Often he can breathe underwater. I've also had the dream or had a dream like this before and understand this feeling. I dreamt that if you take very short, quick breaths, I can breathe underwater. And I think to myself, wow, I should tell my awake self about this trick so I can actually breathe underwater. My husband's brain is quite incredible. He's a music composer. And when he's working on a big project, sometimes he gets stuck. It's a creative brick wall. The only thing that helps, we've come to realize, is sleep. Lo and behold, he'll wake up with a solution to the problem. The melody he's been looking for sometimes. It's like his unconscious is constantly trying to look for solutions to problems in the real life. Since this is a reoccurring dream, there's no particular event that can be pinned to the dream, but I can say he, like me, grew up in a small town. He's from a working-class family who all worked in the local factory. His biggest fear was landing up in that factory, not being able to be a musician. Often this dream occurs at a time when life and work is very stressful. When the creative work isn't as big, and I think he fears that he might have to go home and get a factory job. When he was younger, he always wanted to be a famous onstage musician, and now enjoys a simple life of working on music behind the scenes. We always thought that Dream About the Wave was about him going with the flow of life, if you can call it that, like wanting to be a famous musician and running away from the wave of life that sweeps you away in a different direction, but then realizing that direction isn't all that bad. Because I have no questions, but just think it's so interesting how our thoughts keep working even when we sleep. They're constantly sending messages to our conscious self. A friend of mine always says a dream is like a message to you, from you. It's important that we listen to these messages from ourselves in our dreams. Thanks for your podcast. I often listen while I'm sitting at my desk painting. It's helped me come to terms with some of my fears. Fond regards, Steph. Thank you for the letter and interesting interpretation that you you shared there. I would agree on some aspect, but let's talk about what tidal waves mean in dreams when they're carrying us away. Because waves can have all different meanings in dreams, but specifically the scenario you described of it being something that picks you up and carries you away. That has to do with a new start in a new place or a new setting or a new something. It could be a new project. It could just be something in your existing setting, but something new that's about to take place, that you're ready to take place. And I could see if you're kind of stressed out, if work is kind of slow or if work is kind of slow for him and there's that fear, it's more so him and his mind and his subconscious saying, okay, I'm ready for the next challenge. I'm ready for the next thing. I'm ready for that next wave to get me where I'm going. It's not so much about pulling you back to where you came from. It's about your just being prepared and ready for the next thing. So that could be a positive thing. It could be a very positive thing of not so much fear of going backwards. It's more so just being ready and your subconscious saying, okay, let's keep this thing going. Let's get the next thing underway. Unfortunately, that's not always the easiest to have happen if you're not in control of what the next project is going to be. You're kind of at the whim sometimes of other people and a client or a submission or something of that nature to get working on. But our minds can sit there and be like, I'm ready to go. Let's do the next thing. And that's oftentimes what a wave means when it's carrying you away. And to tie in with that, the underwater part where you believe that you're breathing underwater, there's an element of that where people are feeling helpless and not able to fulfill the needs that they have, whether it be work, something like this, where maybe it's slower again. It's that whole desire to keep moving. And if that's not happening, it can be a very helpless feeling. And it can represent a need to try and take care of yourself and to fulfill things in your life that need to be fulfilled, but an inability to do that. And that can be a very frustrating and almost, you know, somewhat suffocating experience, but you're still kind of breathing. That's kind of why there's take small breaths. You can breathe underwater. You're getting through it, but it's difficult. So it all kind of ties together, the somewhat breathing underwater and the tidal wave that's sweeping away. So it's a very forward moving thing, but it also represents a lot of the subconscious anxieties and stresses that would go along with a situation like that. So there you go. There's some insight and some thoughts on that specific situation. 1-800-606-7193. Our phone number here at Dream Meanings. You can write in on our website as well, which is dreamingradio.com. Share your dream with us. We may use it on a future episode of the program. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on Dream Meanings.
Hi, Tony. Been listening to the show for a little over a month, both the Dream show and the Ghost Real Ghost Stories Online. Quick background before I tell you my story, Tony. Before I go into it, I think I should note this out that my mother passed away when I was 12 years old, and this dream that I had has always stuck with me for a while, and it was a little not traumatic, but it stuck with me in a way, and the summer before my senior year, I had an uncle who was involved in, and who was a politician in Mexico, and he was executed in a way like I'm about to tell you. So in my dream, Tony, my parents were divorced, and my mom lived a couple miles away from where we lived. And I can't forget, I was at her house, and I was wearing a suit. I remember I was in her house, I was wearing a suit, and in my dream, I remember looking out into the driveway, and the Ford Explorer that I had driven my senior year was there. And I don't know if that stuck with me, because that's what I did drive my senior year. And I was sitting there talking with my mom in my dream, and before I say anything else, too, I haven't really dreamed of my mom. My mom passed away, you know. I was 18 when I had this dream, but my mom had passed away when I was 12, so I think I maybe only have dreamed with her once up until this point. But anyways, so I'm talking with my mom. We're just talking about life, and I'm wearing this nice suit, and she tells me, it's okay, son, you're going to come live with me very soon. And in my dream, it didn't strike me scared. Like I said, I'm like, for some reason, I just knew my parents were divorced in my dream. I said, yeah, mom, man, that'll be nice. What have you? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, mom, I got to get going. I got to get to school. Okay, she gives me a hug and a kiss. I love you, and I'll see you soon. Don't worry about it. She told me, don't worry about it. You're going to come live with me. So I get in my car, and I'm driving, Tony, and the high school I went to was about 15, 20 minutes away from where I lived. I kind of lived in a rural area. So, you know, depending on which road you took. But in my dream, I took the way to get to, I went on I-76, headed towards the high school I went to was in Kingsburg, Colorado. And as I'm getting there, Tony, I was in a good mood. And I remember all of a sudden, like a dark fear, like a really big, nasty fear in the pit of my stomach. And as I'm pulling in to the town to get to the school, I'm pulling in, I take a right, and about 20, 30 feet away from me, I really can't tell. I see there's like three SUVs, Tony, three or four. I can't forget, but they're like 20, 30 feet away from me. They slam on their brakes and I stop. They weren't directly stopped in front of me, but it just caught my attention. I stopped. And right as that's happening, several guys in each SUV get out and they, with guns, with, you know, rifles and whatever they had. And they kill me in my dream. They, you know, they shoot me. It's pop, 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 pop. It's ruthless. It was the weirdest thing because in my dream, not only did I experience this from the driver's seat, but I kind of saw this in the third person. Like I saw them from the side shooting at me. So they're shooting. And after about a minute and a half, it stops. One of the guys puts his rifle down, walks up to me and gets about within 3-4 feet away from where I was sitting in the car dead, pulls out a pistol and unloads a magazine in me in my dream just to make sure I was dead. They leave the whole ass out of there. I'm just laying there dead. And I see this in third person. I see the police get there. You know, there's witnesses and the news cameras are there. And the reason I told you about my uncle is because my uncle, like I said, passed away the summer before going into my senior year, and I was close with him. And he died in a very similar fashion from news reports that I read and things that I have heard. This is the way my uncle died. My uncle was ambushed in a very similar way. And I don't know. I remember watching the news, and I don't know what I was, if I was a ghost or just watching this, but I remember watching this on the news, and my dad had been informed, and the family was at the house, and they were watching a news report, and there was a lady just sitting there going, what did an 18-year-old kid do to die in such a horrendous manner? And in my dream, I'm like, what the heck did I do, really? And they're going over the news reports, and yet they had already pulled my body out of the car. But the weirdest thing is that in the news report, they're not censoring, like, the car. And the car is just riddled with bullet holes. The windows are shot out. There's blood everywhere in the car, my blood. And then that's when I wake up. And I remember I woke up, and I cried. I cried, and it scared the crap out of me. And I was fearful, but, you know, after I calmed down, I felt, you know, took a deep breath, and I was like, okay, that was just a dream. I never told my dad about it until a couple of years after it happened. And my dad just said, you know, he's religious, and he just said, pray to God, and that was just, you know, the best way is, like, that's just the devil at work playing your head, Alan. Don't look too much into that dream. But, Tony, it's always stuck with me. Anyway, at this time, I was arguing with my dad as an 18-year-old kid. There's things that I wanted to do, I feel like he was having a hard time letting me go do things, as because I feel a lot of times that held me back was because, you know, he was a father, his wife had died, and me being the oldest, I wanted to do all these things, and he had a hard time letting me go do things, and I was butting heads with him about that. Also, we were a little stressed financially because my dad's business wasn't doing so hot, and I had been accepted into a college, and I remember thinking to myself that I couldn't just wait to get out and go to school and get a job so I could, you know, help pay for my college, and I wanted out. I don't have my house. My dad was an amazing father, but I guess I wanted freedom. That's like the best thing to explain it. I wanted freedom really bad. But Tony, that's what was happening in my life at the time. Besides the normal stresses of being a senior in high school, that's the best way I know how to describe it. Any of your input would be amazing to hear from you. I love your show, and hopefully I look forward to listening to it. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you for taking the time to call in and share your experience with us. A lot of what you said makes sense, okay? We'll start out there. And let's, before we jump into what happened with your uncle and your family there, if you're, number one, having a dream of someone shooting at you with guns, a lot of times that has to do with you experiencing a confrontation, basically, in your real life. And it sounds like you were feeling that way. You were a teenager, a senior in high school, feeling, you know, somewhat victimized. You're not, you know, able to do exactly what you want to do. There's authority figures telling you, you know, yes or no. And that can lead to that feeling and then essentially lead to that dream. Why it was such a violent, extreme dream is because our minds are going to grab what it knows, what's been traumatic around us, what stands out around us, and it will reuse those scenarios in very, you know, sometimes creative and disturbing ways. And my guess is it was a traumatic experience with what happened to your uncle. And we, when we hear something horrible happen to someone that we love, we put ourselves in those situations. And in our minds, try to imagine what would it be like if it was me? How would we cope with this? How would we be able to deal with this? So I'm guessing it wasn't the first time that probably ran through your mind of what if it was me that was in a situation like that? How would I handle this? And it ended up playing into the anxieties that you had and the confrontation of your waking life in the matter of essentially being the blueprint for your dream. I don't think it had anything to do with the foretelling of your death or anything of that nature. It was just, unfortunately, a trauma that happened in your life and then got replayed in a dream in that manner because it fit the narrative of what was going on in your outside life with your emotions and your thoughts and your feelings on everything around you. That's really what I think it was. It can be horrible and scary. You know, it's a very interesting thing how that happens. And I mean, obviously, unfortunately, horrible, horrible, sad way that your uncle passed. But think of it this way. Had he passed in some other traumatic fashion where there was, I'm just trying to think if, you know, a car accident or something not good, something that would still, you know, make you think and make you put yourself in a bad situation. It could have also manifested in your dreams in a similar way if it was some sort of an attack, if you will, depending on what that may have been, because it was in the way that it was with the shooting and the guns, that's how it manifested itself in your mind. Because I'm sure that's something you probably think about daily. And it will likely not go away anytime soon. There'll be something that will unfortunately follow you. Hopefully the dreams and things of that nature that can haunt us after going through situations like that will subside a bit. But that's very likely what the reasoning was for that dream. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. And I'm very sorry for the loss of your uncle. 1-800-606-7193. Is our phone number at Dream Meetings to share your experiences with us. No matter where you are, you can call that, or you can write it on our website at dreamingradio.com. Joshua says, the setting begins at a speedway about a half hour from where I live in Maine. It's known as Oxford Plains Speedway, and it's popular racing, a racing lover destination due to it being the biggest circle track in the state. And sometimes NASCAR drivers show up to drive in its annual big event, the 250. I used to go there quite a bit in my younger days, but stopped going to the races slowly, and slowly as the years went on. New ownership made the races shorter, fewer, and the annual big car show called Shine and Drag was drastically reduced in comparison to its previous years. I still do have fond memories of the place, though, and it still has good racing that's fun to watch. In my dream, I'm suddenly sitting in the grandstands watching the races. The first one start were little retro rod minis, basically like 40s to 50s old Fords and Chevy coupes, but smaller. The retro rods were uneventful and as normal as small oval truck racing can get. The second group of cars came out to do their races after the retro rods. Much to my befuddlements, they were legit F1 top league Ferrari, Mercedes, etc. racing cars. I was confused because the track is small, and I was wondering how the heck they were going to pull off getting the most out of their power without crashing when they didn't have the room to do so. Well, the race starts. Just like I thought, the first turn comes up, and it turns into carnage. A couple of them fly off the track as if they were sort of fired out of a slingshot. Nothing too ridiculous, but enough for them to get some good airtime and have quite a rough landing due to the slope of the corners. Naturally, a yellow flag comes out, the track gets cleaned up, and everything is all set to go. The remaining cars start again, and just like before, carnage and flying cars litter the racetrack. Yellow is brought out again for the remainder of the race. It's rinse and repeat until every car is too destroyed to drive. Of course, during the whole race, I was in confusion as to why the hell anyone thought this was a good idea and made for good racing, considering every lap brought out a yellow flag. It was such a ridiculous turn of events that the race didn't even finish due to the wrecks. Being confused to the point of no strong emotion and being sort of spaced out, I walked out of the stands with the races being over. Walking through the parking lot, I saw a cop car, just a regular Grand Marquis with police written on the side, and it was a pretty bland paint job. It was black and white, plain aerial type on the side. All of a sudden, my coworker shows up. He's a nice guy from work, the type that if you don't annoy him, know how to converse with him, and don't mind him giving you a little crap, he's very easy to get along with. For this submission, let's call him Slick, high school name according to him. Slick has a anti-authority attitude about him, not a troublemaker in these recent years, but is leery about law enforcement in general. Anyway, Slick appears and just goes up and opens up the police car door, simply takes a look and comments about how cool the technology is. Naturally, I was worried because nobody just goes up and opens a random police car door without permission, but to my amazement, nothing became of it. He didn't scrunge around, there was no vandalism. He just simply looked, commented, and shut the door. Satisfied with taking a close-up look at the technology and car, he pleasantly walked off, small-talking about the gadgets and gizmos he saw. No alarms went off, no cops showed up. He just walked away as if nothing happened. I couldn't tell if I was confused or not, but looking back, of course, this would be out of character for him. He dislikes police in general, and yet here he is calmly checking out how cool a cop car is and leaving it be as if he was gas being respectful towards a symbol of authority outside of opening the door in the first place. On top of that, saying good things about gadgets they use to enforce law. Not really his character, in my opinion. This segues into his second part. I was driving through a rural village, a tad bit of superlative, to it, a very small, quaint, and one stoplight town sort of feel. I was driving my previous car, a blue 1993 Chrysler Concord. All of a sudden, dark clouds start to form, and I can see the distance a tornado is forming. I drive like a bandit to my stepdad's and mother's house. The town I was in before wasn't where she lived, but somehow I ended up at her house. I bolt to the front door to find shelter, but as soon as I'm inside, it's an unfamiliar house, sort of run down, and has some wall-less parts here and there, where I can see that the scenery is different from where she actually lives. In fact, it was back to a really rural, tall grass plain setting from what I could make out from inside the house. I can sense the tornado is coming, so I found a corner in a spacious high ceiling room, but it was surrounded by empty, dingy glass aquariums. Among the old house ruins, boards, old furniture, etc., I knew that I was not safe because of the glass, so I was frantically grabbing the aquariums and tossing them to the other side of the room until there was enough of a hole for me to cower in. While this was going on, the wind was getting louder and gustier, driving up the tension. I get into the hole I made for myself and cower, and the dream stops. At the time, I was, and still am, working overnights for a retail corporation. I don't mind my job. It pays the bills. Obviously, it's not the ideal career path, but I guess I've grown complacent to it and don't have the drive to change. Personally, I lack self-confidence, find myself unattractive and pick on myself, but I'm still happy with life. It has its crappy moments, but it's always worth living, in my opinion, and I don't see myself losing that happiness ever. Basically, life has been coasting in neutral for a while at that time, and I'm not very adventurous. I'm pretty much a homebody. I was and still am socially awkward, shy, and hesitant to mingle with new crowds. Uneventful aside from some concerts and gatherings with my friends, life hasn't changed much from the neutral feelings since then. Why would a coworker I know act opposite to his personality? Why were top fuel F1 racers racing on a small oval track in rural Maine, even though it ended badly for them? As for the second part, why was the scenery always changing? Why did the house change on the inside? And is there a significance to all those glass aquariums considering a tornado was approaching? I'm confused as to why these dreams would reflect my life or mind would be working things out like this with the scenery. Thank you for reading and taking the time to decipher it. I started listening to your ghost story podcast at the start of October on Spotify, and I'm hooked. Makes work more enjoyable and love what you guys are doing. Keep up the awesome work. I'm working on becoming an EPP. Have a great day. Okay, let's talk about this dream a little bit and some of the imagery in it, because I think the tornado end of it and I think the race car end of it have a lot of similarities to them. My opinion on this would be it has a lot to do with you feeling as if you are kind of a spectator to your own life, and you're watching things around you go on that you know may not be right, may end up being catastrophic, may end up just crashing and burning, may not end up going well, but you may be too timid to speak up. You may be too timid to take control over your life, and you just kind of let it happen. Or you feel that some of these things are out of your control. Like, why are they racing these cars? I know better than that, but you feel there's no way to take control of that, and there's no way to speak up and take control of that. Same with the tornado coming in. You realize this is bad. This is not going to be a good situation. And you try and find some shelter. So you're trying to take control for your safety. And you end up in a place surrounded by glass aquariums. That may be a representation of you trying to take some control there by tossing those aquariums, but still feeling like this is still not going to probably work out well. I think it has a lot to do with the self-confidence and in your underlying feeling of not having control of your life and just kind of letting things go by around you and being somewhat complacent with them, which it sounds like that's kind of how you're living life right now, to your own admission. That's up to you. That's up to you how you want life to go. If you get by just fine and that's something you'll be happy with, I'm not saying that's wrong. But I'm saying that I think your subconscious is saying there's more here than what you're bringing to the table. And there's more fulfillment that I think you may be desiring in life than what you're getting out of the current path that you're on. And that's where I think the race car comes into play. I think that's where the tornado comes into play. And it's a lot of watching from the sidelines, chaos, knowing better, but not taking the action to try and correct these things that you feel may be too far beyond your control. And in some cases, they can be. You know, there's workplace situations. I remember many workplace situations when I was working in radio with other people, and I wasn't my own boss, where you could just sit there and you could predict the disaster from a mile away. And I would have dreams like this as well. But there was only so much one could do. I did, at several points in my career there, speak up, even though it wasn't my place, to try and correct things. And a lot of times you learn, oh, that's a great way to get fired. It's a great way to get demoted or a great way to be ignored, because you start to be viewed by some people in power as kind of a troublemaker, or they're going to make me look bad. So I'm going to strike first because I have more power and make sure that that person's opinion is not heard and they're kind of discredited. So that's not always the best thing to do, depending on the dynamics of your workplace, if there's something like that going on. But I totally understand that feeling of helplessness, but knowing better. And sometimes you just end up having to sit there and shut up and go along with it if you want to collect that paycheck. It just depends on your job, and it depends where you want to be and what you need to have going on in your life to support yourself. And that's just a judgment call on your point as to where and what is going to be realistic for you. But I think deep down there's something going on there for you feeling, I got to do more than this. I have to stop being a spectator at life because I know better. That'd be my opinion on that. Thanks for sharing. Greatly appreciate it. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number at Dream Meetings. Our website is dreamingradio.com. We are broadcast on pretty much every podcast platform out there. iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, which is iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, whatever it may be that you are listening to us on, please press subscribe. helps us grow in the rankings, lets other people find us, and then we get more stories and can create a better show for you every single week. So if you like us and you want to help us out, positive reviews, pressing subscribe, that's a great way to start to keep this thing going at Dream Meetings. That wraps up today's episode of the program. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for tuning in and being a loyal listener of Dream Meetings.